good afternoon to you also. Delighted to be here in your midst once again this lovely sunny afternoon. Somebody maybe like a copy of God's written word. It's offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. This one here is Mark's Gospel. I've got Bibles, I've got New Testaments, and I've got these extracts from the Bible. If you would like to read for yourself the message that God has entrusted to us in order that you might come to know, believe in His Son Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, freely offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. If you'd like one, please do feel free to come and ask for one. If you've got a question, then please do come and ask. I don't have the answer to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do believe I have the answers to the most important questions. And that is, a man, a woman gets right with God, finds the way of life. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the Bible, you know. And this is our authority for being here. This is my authority for speaking. The only authority and the ultimate authority. Talking just a young man just a few moments ago, you know, he's kind of like, you know, you, not to be unkind, but you might be forgiven for thinking that he had left planet Earth. But that's what happens, you know, when you leave God's word. It's an anchor for our soul, you know. Steadfast, it's truth, it's reality, it's stable. And this is what the Bible gives us. So if you'd like a copy of God's word, please do feel free to come and ask for one. And if for any reason whatsoever you are in trouble this morning, distressed, depressed, in trouble, and you would like somebody to pray for you, I would be only too happy to do that for you, if you please. But we're here with the gospel, the good news, glad tidings, Jesus saves. Morning, ma'am. How are you? Good. Have a good day? Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. You're a believer, man? Yeah, good. Praise the Lord. There's two of us. Sorry? Uh-huh, me too. Me too. Depends on every day. That's it. No. His way, and his time. That's right. Yep. Uh-huh. God bless you, my dear. Have a good day, eh? Yep. Lovely. Lord go with you. God. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Yep, that's it. Yep, that's right. So there you go, friends. He's a faithful and trustworthy Saviour. Worthy of your trust, your confidence, your faith. Put your faith in Jesus, and what you get is salvation, eternal life even, through Jesus. Not a religion, that's not what we're here about today. Not religion, a person, Jesus, and what he has done. He has come, taken our flesh, taken our nature, lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, in order that sinners like you and I might be reconciled to God, might know eternal life, might know the joy of heaven one day. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Gospel. Good news. Glad tidings. John 3:16. I'm sure you've heard it many, many, many times before. God so loved the world that he gave. Why? Because he's a giving God. He loves to give salvation. Loves you. You love the world. Walsall's part of the world. You're part of Walsall. God so loved the world, I loved you, that he gave out of the mere good pleasure of his heart and love, he gave the wonderful, wonderful gift of his Son, gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes on you. That whoever believes, that's the operating factor. Young man, a few minutes ago, he says, well, why doesn't he save me now? Well, you have to believe. You have to receive. You see, God has provided the gift. God presents you with the gift here today. The gift of his Son is offered to you. But you have to receive the gift. It's like any other gift, you know? Christmas time or party time, birthday time. Somebody comes to you with a gift and says, here's a present for you. What do you have to do in order for that gift to be yours? You have to do something. You have to receive it. So you have to receive the gift of God, or it never becomes yours. You never receive the benefit of it. He came to his own people, that is, but they did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, those who accepted the gift of God's Son, those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become that which they were not previously, children of God. That's how you get into God's family, how you become a member of his family. That's how God becomes your father. Jesus, your elder brother. That's how you get saved, salvation. That's how you get forgiven. That's how you get to heaven. You receive simply, only, by faith, through faith, receive the gift that God has provided for you and offers to you. Question is, will you take it? Will you receive it? Or will you continue on in stubborn rebellion against God, against your Maker, who so kindly, who so pleasurably, who so lovingly, who so wondrously offers you this free gift that, believe me, you don't deserve. You don't deserve, you deserve the very opposite. The very opposite to the gift that he's offering you. You deserve, every single one of us, you and I included, we deserve nothing but the penalty for our sin. To be separated, alienated from God, not just for time, but for eternity. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything from the hand of God. We're rebellious sinners. We're guilty, we're sinful. We're full of blame and shame and a natural born state and condition. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live and die in sin. Unless, except, you receive the gift of God, eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you receive also today? Will you receive the gift of God's Son? He so loved the world, so loved you that he gave his only Son and gave him up. How? Gave him up to the death of the cross. Brought him to that place of suffering, of rejection, of dying, of bleeding, shedding his divine blood on that cross. So that a sinner like you, a rebel like you, alienated from God, that you might be brought back to God, know God, love God, adore God, worship God, serve God, the very reason for which you have your being, the very reason for which you exist, to glorify God, to fear God, to walk in the fear of God, to do that which you do not do. In disobedience, a child of disobedience, and tongues come by the power of the risen Son of God into a child of obedience rather than disobedience. So hearken, listen up, also hear my voice, hear the voice of the Savior calling you apart, the voice of the Son of God. Spirit of Christ in me calls out to you, cries to you, be reconciled to God. Away with your religion, depart from it. Your imaginary good works, depart from them. Any perceived goodness that you have in you, think you have in you, away with it. And with your sin and your unbelief, be no longer unbelieving, but believing. Trust in the Son of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the only way you can enter God's kingdom, in the way of repentance, turning from your sin and believing and trusting in the Son of God, the only Savior and the only mediator between God and man, the only one who stands between you and a holy, righteous, and angry, sin-hating God. That you might be reconciled to him and know the love of God, the kindness, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, his Son, offered to you today, set before you today, salvation's terms. Repent ye. Now, Walsall sinners, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, the word of God for you here in Walsall today, take it once again from the book of Psalms. You can read for yourself if you like. Psalm 38 in the Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible. You can read these words where he says, the psalmist, he says, my wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. He's talking about the misery of sin. That misery that we are each and every one of us born into. Naturally speaking, by natural generation, all the way back to the first man, the head of the entire human race, his name was Adam. He sinned, disobeyed God, and brought sin and all its misery and death upon the entirety of the human race. So that when you or anybody else is conceived in your mother's womb, you're conceived in sin. And then 9 months later, you come into the world crying, whining, howling. In misery, you come into the world, and that's the way you'll go out of the world, unless by the grace of God, you are changed. That sinful nature in which you're conceived and born, and out of which comes all the misery of your sin, can only be taken away, changed, transformed by the power of my gospel. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. Misery attends his way, all his ways, and yours too. You're not happy for very long, are you, Walsall sinners? Be honest, be truthful, answer that question. You're not happy for very long, are you? It's transient, it's just for a moment. The things of this world, they make you happy. Even your sin makes you happy, but just for a moment. It's transient, very transient. It only lasts for a moment, and then you're back to the old misery, the unhappiness again. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Because that's your natural born state and condition. As surely as the sparks fly upwards, the Bible says, man is born to trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble follows you all your days, and misery with it. You go about mourning all your days. Unhappy. Maybe a fix of drugs will do it temporarily. Maybe some booze in you. Maybe that'll fix it temporarily. Or maybe some material pleasure. Give you a bit of happiness just for a short time. But soon it's gone. It's away and you're back to the days of mourning. That's how you'll live and that's how you'll die in this world and go out of it. And then your misery will continue on for all eternity without end, with no hope of ever knowing any happiness, even transient, forever. Unless, of course, somebody helps you, unless somebody rescues you from your miserable state and condition and gives you not happiness that comes from the world, but gives you joy. Gives you a joy, Jesus says, that's beyond words. It's unspeakable joy, he says. A joy, he says, that he would give you that nobody and nothing can take away from you. And that's found in Jesus. That's found in the gospel. You get that from the Son of God. You get that through faith in him, believing in him and trusting him for salvation to save you. Hear me, lost soul sinners. Not just to save you from your mourning, your misery, your unhappiness, but to save you from the cause of the misery. What is it that causes the misery? What is it that causes you to go about mourning all day long? What is it that causes your unhappiness? It's your sin. It's the sin that you are conceived in and born in and live in and die in, unless Jesus saves you. Unhappiness, guys. Misery. It's all you got without Jesus. Unhappiness, misery, all the day long, unless Jesus changes that nature of yours. It's your nature, you see. That's the problem, young man. Nature. Who can change their nature, I ask you? Huh? You might say, well, that's impossible. Well, you it is. Me it is. How can anyone change their nature? You know, well, the Bible addresses that, you know. God says in his words, you know, he says, can you change the spots on a leopard? And of course you answer and you say, no, of course I can. That's his natural condition, that's his nature. You can't change the spots on a leopard. I mean, that would take a miracle, wouldn't it? That would take a supernatural act of God to change a leopard's spots. Natural condition. Well, how can you, God says, how can you who are accustomed quite naturally to do evil, how can you do good? In other words, how can you get good out of a sinful nature such as yours? And the answer to that question, of course, is the same as the first one, impossible. With you, that is. With me, that is. But not with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. He can change your nature, you see. That's what Jesus means. You know when he says, you must be born again? God, by his mighty power in the gospel, and through the preaching of the gospel that we're doing here today, through this means, God saves sinners, changes their natures, changes their hearts, their innermost beings, and makes them new creatures altogether. Now, that's beyond anything that religion can do for you. That's beyond anything that Muhammad can do for you. That's beyond anything the Pope of Rome can do for you. That's beyond anything I can do for you. Way past my pay grade. No, I can only tell you the story. I can only tell you the good news. I can only tell you about Jesus, the one who can do it for you. Jesus, he is able, I tell you, to change, transform that nature of yours, out of which comes nothing but sin and all the misery. That's where the misery comes from. That's its source. That's the pit out of which all the human tragedy in the world and all the misery that comes with it comes from. So you change the nature. You change the nature of the beast. And you change. You change the circumstances. You change the conduct. You change the person in their entirety. It's only Jesus. Only he can change those vile natures that we've all got, that we're all born with, that we all come into the world with, and live in this foolishness that he talks about. He says, because of my foolishness. Isn't that what sin is? I mean, we're all so sinners. Come on, own up to it. Own up to it. You know, when you've done something wrong, and then afterwards, you know you've done wrong, you've got a guilty conscience, you know. Your conscience tells you that you've done wrong. And you're asking yourself the question, you're saying, how could I have been so foolish? I mean, if we're absolutely honest, and I'll be honest with you too, because I'm no different, you know. I look back at many of the things that I've done, you know, that I regret now. And I did it just plainly and simply out of foolishness. Because that's what sin makes us. It makes us fools. And it makes us behave like fools. It makes us act in foolishness. Think, talk, and act in foolishness. That's what sin is in a word. It's foolishness. In fact, it's madness. Why? Because it makes you miserable. Because it makes you mourn. Because it makes you unhappy. Because it makes you guilty. Because it makes you fearful. No, because it's against God. The foolishness, the madness, the insanity, you know, of killing one another by means of abortion. I mean, foolishness to the uttermost. To kill a child conceived in its mother's womb and to kill it. Tell me that's not foolishness. Huh? I saw a picture of a young woman in the United States of America, and she was holding up a sign, and you know what it said? She was saying on that sign, she said, I'd rather be a murderer than a mother. Huh? Foolishness. And you wonder why you're miserable? You wonder why you go about mourning all day long? You deserve more than misery, believe me. You believe nothing. You deserve nothing but the damnation of hell. Foolishness to the uttermost. Killing one another. And now this insanity. Eh? It goes beyond foolishness. Eh? That a man can become a woman and a woman a man. And that intelligent, cognitive, educated people are promoting this. And promoting it in such a way as to make you fearful of speaking out against it. Welcome to the Nazi Western culture. Nazism. Adolf Hitler has been resurrected. Or rather, his philosophy have. Foolishness. That's what sin is. Because it's against God. It's against his law. It's against his holy, holy, holy law. It's against his love. Foolishness. But that foolishness can be taken away. There was a man full of insanity. You know, Jesus came to him and took hold of him and by his power changed him. And he was immediately afterwards, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed in his right mind. Only Jesus can bring you to your right mind. Only he can remove the foolishness. Only he can make you intelligent again. Only he can take away this insanity. Yeah? Only Jesus. Only he can cure the mind. You see, there's three problems. Three problems. What? Three issues that you need dealing with. A bad mind, a mind that's corrupt, yeah? In all its faculties, bad minds, bad hearts, and bad records. So you got a bad head that needs putting right. Jesus can do that. All things are possible. And you got a bad heart that needs changing, a bad nature. Jesus can do that. All things are possible. And you've got a bad record stashed up, treasuring up wrath for the day of God's wrath. Jesus can clear that. How, you say? Because he came into the world. He became one of us. He lived a beautiful life. He died. He suffered and bled and died upon a cross to take away sin, its guilt, its shame, its blame, the curse of God, the wrath of God that lies upon humanity. He came to do all this and to rise again from the dead to make these changes a possibility. The head made right, the heart changed, and the record cleared, washed, cleansed, renewed, restored, forgiven. In the love of God, this is the love of God, whilst all sinners, for the like of you. Ah. No compulsion on God's part, do anything for you. Ah. I mean, who would want to do anything for you, a whilst all sinner, eh? Your neighbor won't help you, eh? Who would want to do anything to help you out of your misery, and out of your foolishness that you've gotten into by sin. Huh? Who would want to help you? Well, let me tell you who your best friends are today. Your best friends are the gospel preachers, myself and my buddy here. Because we are here to tell you how you can be rescued and who can rescue you. And the person who can rescue you, and I'm telling you about here today, his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God, not the Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of Rome, not the Jesus of the Watchtower Society, the Jesus of the Bible. That Jesus, this Jesus, he who suffered and bled and died and rose again from the dead and evidenced that he has the power, the risen power, to conquer sin and death and hell. Deal with your foolishness and take away your mourning and give you joy. Joy unspeakable. Jesus, love him, adore him, worship him. He's the Son of God. He's the King of glory. Crowned in glory and majesty and might. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto him. He has the authority to speak a word of salvation to you today. He has the authority, he has the power to change you in the twinkling of an eye. Here today at Walsall Town Centre, he has the authority to give life, life from the dead. He has the authority, he has the power, all power in heaven and earth belongs to him. Oh, he's able. He's able. Don't doubt it. Walsall sinners, don't doubt it. To doubt that Jesus is willing to save you is just as bad. Just as bad as saying that there's no God. Unbelief. And unbelief is the only thing that keeps you in your misery. Unbelief is the only thing that keeps you from being saved, being delivered from your misery and the sin that causes it. Unbelief. It's the only thing that keeps you back. You're not willing to come to me, says Jesus, that you might have life. There's life in him. There's enough life in Jesus for the whole town of Walsall. If the whole town of Walsall would come to him. But you won't come, says Jesus. That's your problem. You won't come to me that you might have life. You'll go to the booze, you'll go to the drugs, you'll go to religion, you'll go to materialism, you'll go to all kinds of sources, but you won't come to me, says Jesus, that you might have life. But if you would come, if you did come, you would find life. Life abundant. That's why he came for us, says Jesus. That you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That you today, Walsall sinners, abundant life. That's how you would describe yourself, as somebody with abundant life in them. And if not, why not? Ask yourself that question. If Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God, came into the world to give abundant life to men and women, why have I not got it? Why do I live in utter misery and death all the day long? Because you won't believe. Because you won't come to Jesus that you might have that life. That's the answer. So come to him and get that life. And then of course, well, the folly, the foolishness of sin. Because of my foolishness, he says, I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. And all the day long, I go about my mourning. Friend, think about the foolishness of sin. Think about what it does. What is sin? Sin is what? Is a lack of conformity to any one of God's commands. No other gods but me, you know? That's what God says in his word, his command, the very first commandment, no other gods but me. So what do you do in foolishness? Man turns away from the living and true God, life-giving God, joy-giving God, salvation-giving God. Man turns away from him and he makes gods of his own imagination. He dreams up things like Islam. He dreams up things like Roman Catholic. He dreams up things like the Watchtower Society. And he even makes an idol, a god out of himself. That's where your transgenderism comes from. The basis of it is idolatry, the idol of self. Yeah. You're a man, you're a woman, made in the image of God, but you make yourself in your own image. The man says, I'll make myself in the image of a woman. And the woman says, I'll make myself in the image of a man. It's idolatry, it's the foolishness of sin. And so, the foolishness, what's the outworking of the foolishness? Huh? You're a man and you pretended to be a woman, and you're a woman pretending to be a man. I mean, how foolish is that? How foolish is that? That's the folly of sin. Then, of course, you got the idolatry. That's false religion, madam. False religion, idolatry. You know? You turn your back on the fountain of living waters, the God who gives you life and being, who sustains your very life, and the God who holds your very next breath in the palm of his hand. It's to give and it's to take away. You turn away from him and you fashion idols. You make up religions. You worship other gods. Somebody said that the human heart is an idol factory. We produce idols by the day, by the dozen. False religion is foolishness. Foolishness. You can see that there is a God. Why is there something and not nothing? Huh? Did something come from nothing? Huh? Tell me, answer the question. Why is there something and not nothing? Did nothing bring about everything? Huh? There's something. There's a universe. There's galaxies. There's a world. There's humanity. There's creatures great and small. Why? Because God is. And you know that he is. You know that he is. And I'm not even going to try and defend that. Because God doesn't defend his existence in the Bible. He says, you know that he is. You know that he is because of creation. You know that he is. His being is stamped on your innermost being. You know that he is. Oh, you know. You have not got a leg to stand on. You've got no excuse as God. You know that he is. But you don't like that he is. You don't want him to be. Huh? That's why you call yourself an atheist. That's why you change your name. My name's not John. My name's not Jane. My name's atheist, you say. You lie through your teeth. You say, I'm an atheist. No, don't say I'm an atheist. Say I'm a liar. Say I'm a damnable liar. I lie through my teeth every day because I live as though and I talk like God doesn't exist. I'm a liar. That's what I am. Be honest. Repent. Repent of your foolishness. Turn from your foolishness. But then there are other commandments, you know. Keeping the Sabbath day. That's long gone in your modern day society. Now, of course, you complain, I gotta go to work on Sunday. Oh, I gotta work 7 days a week. I got this mortgage, I got these kids, I got this family, I got this house to maintain, and I gotta work 7 days a week. And I get no rest for my labor. Well, you didn't want the Sabbath day. God gave it to you. He gave you a day of rest. But years ago, as a nation, you said, we don't want this Sabbath day anymore. We want to work, but we want to work. And now you have to work 24/7 and you don't like it. You're mourning misery about it. See what I mean? The foolishness of sin. How contradictory we are. Repent of your foolishness. Obey God's commands. They're for your benefit. They're for your good. The commandments of love. You know that, sir? Commandments of love. Commandments of love. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and being. To love your neighbors, yourself. The commandments of love. They're given to your love. They're given for your protection. They're given to preserve and keep you from foolishness. But the foolishness is in not keeping them. And that's what sin is. Then, of course, well, we've already touched on it. Oh, no, here's one. Honor your father and mother. Parental authority and obedience to parents. You wonder why you live in a lawless society? You wonder why your children are rebels? Because you never taught them to obey you. You never told them to. You never taught them. You never instructed them. In the home, at infancy, from being little children, you never instructed them. God's basis of authority. I am your mother. I am your father. You will do what I tell you to do, and you'll do it when I tell you to do it. But you've got children, and you've got a society now that doesn't answer to anybody's authority. Parents, the state, the police, the judiciary, or anybody else. And why your prisons are chock-a-block full of rebels, and why you've got a rebellious society. That's what sin is. That's what foolishness is. Young man asked me a minute or two ago, he asked me if I ever shut up. I could go on all day. You shall not murder, we've done that. Shall not commit adultery, steal, false witness. Foolishness. Foolishness and sin. And the cause of your misery, your mourning, your unhappiness. Learn to obey God. But you can't. You can't because you've got a sinful nature that only wants to sin, that only wants to do the foolishness. So you say, well, how can I make repair? How can I change? I want to change. I've tried to change. I tried so many times. I promised my parents, my siblings. I made promises, I made vows that I would never do the foolishness again. How can I change? I've even tried being religious. I've even tried going to church, but I'm still the same. Old sinner, miserable, rotten. How can I change? Well, that's the good news, that we're here to tell you there's a Savior, Jesus. And he's lovely. And he's beautiful, and he's kind, and he's pleasurable, and he's gentle. And he's willing, more willing to change you than you're willing to be changed. More willing to save you than you are to be saved. The question is, are you willing to come to him? Are you willing to trust in him? Are you willing to believe in him? Are you willing to embrace him? Are you willing to call upon his name? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation, rescue, change, transformation. Religion, change you on the outside. Change the way you dress. Change the people you mix with. Places you go, but it won't change your heart. Won't change your heart. Only Jesus can do that. Only the mighty Son of God, by his mighty Spirit, can do that. But that's what he does. That's what he's willing to do. But you must believe. You must trust. You must put your confidence in him to do that for you. You must call upon his name. You must put your trust in him. You must commit yourself to him. You must put your full confidence in him. Jesus, I believe. He says, if you can believe, all things, the miracle of salvation, are possible if you can believe. Call upon him. Jesus, I believe that you can, and you you're willing to save me, change me, transform me, and make me what I need to be, a new creature. Because that's all that God's looking for, and that's all that He'll be looking for on the day of judgment. If you've not been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, you're away with you into hell forever. Damnation is your lot. Jesus. Only Jesus. I am the way. Not Muhammad. Not the Pope. Not religion. Not Charles Taze Russell. Jesus alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Only through Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other name, no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. There's hope for all souls. There's hope for all souls, sinners. Hope in God, but for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. He waits upon God. His trust is in the Lord. His trust is in Jesus. In Him he hopes. For Him he waits. For His salvation. He, Jesus, God so loved the world. He's a prayer-answering God. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Gave Him up to that death on the cross. Suffered, bleed, and died to take away sin, your sin. Wait upon Him. Trust in Him. Hope in God. Because there's hope in no other. Not the state, not the government. Not the king, not the prime minister, not the United Nations, none of them, all of them put together, can't put the world back together again. Jesus Christ is the hope of the nations, this nation, any nation. Jesus Christ is the only hope of the nation. There's no hope apart from God, the true and living God. And there's no other God but Jesus Christ. I know no other God but Jesus Christ. He alone created the heavens and the earth. Jesus. He alone sustains it. He alone sustains your life and being. He alone saves. His name is salvation. Jesus. What the name means. Salvation. A suitable name for one who saves and who loves to save. Sinners. Loves to save them. Came to save them. Loves so much that He was willing to suffer, bleed, and die on that cross in order that this salvation might be yours. This is the outworking of God's love, His giving love. So loved the world that He gave His only Son, that through Him that you might be saved. Not made religious, but saved. Salvation, forgiveness of your sins, pardon, eternal life, everlasting life. Whoever believes on Him, on the Son of God, shall not perish. God promises in love and in the utmost of integrity, promises shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you have to go to Jesus for it. Only found in Jesus, the Son of God, whom I present to you here today. It was offered to you, set before you, Jesus, the mighty Son of God, you take him and you take salvation. Receive the gift of God, the hand of faith. That's the only way that you receive the gift of God. You reach out the hand of faith and humility, a sinner. You come on bended knees. Jesus, I receive you. I receive you into my heart. Come and dwell within me and change my heart and make me a creature of love. Make me altogether like yourself. Gentle and kind, pleasant, all wonderful. I commend my Savior to you. He's altogether wonderful. He saved me, I tell you, from an awful lot of foolishness, an awful lot of sin. I commend him to you. He is able. All things are possible with God, with Jesus. Come to him. Put your trust in him today. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Read about him, about Jesus? Offer to you, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. God's written Word. Read about Jesus. All here in God's Word. What a wonderful person, Savior he is. Like God's Word, you come and ask for one. Got a question, bring it to me, I'll try and answer it. Want somebody to pray for you for whatever reason, only too happy to do so. Come and talk to me. If you like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. But remember the words of Jesus, won't you? As you go on your way, remember. Repent, and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. God bless you also, and have mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying souls.